Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 204, All Those Yesterdays, comes your way now.
This, an episode written by Matt Ward, directed by Kelly Cyrus. Pete, that's not the Wrecking Ball person. That's a different person. That's your Miley Cyrus. This is an episode with a 0.6 rating and 6.45 million live viewers. This ties a series low rating and is the lowest live viewer count for the series.
And here is where I think the NFL hurts God Friended Me. Matt and I are texting before the show, tells me, hey, do you get the Philadelphia CBS? They're going to start at regular time at 8. Check it out. I happen to find it. Matt, who was operating under the assumption that he already had it, didn't have it. I'm watching at 8. He doesn't get on till a little bit later. We had a busy night here at Fantastic Geek last night because we had Watchmen on as well, and we're not even bringing in Walking Dead, which I still have DVR'd and haven't gotten to. But that inability, plus the CBS tweet with really questionable geography.
It was insane. It was like, for those living in the New York City area, okay, that's what we watch TV from, Southern Michigan, Eastern, you know, Indiana. But it was just bizarre where they showed this game, which was not a New York game or a, you know, the whole thing was just weird. And as you say, Pete, does that possibly contribute to, hey, this isn't a game that I'm necessarily, you know, excited about, therefore my 60 Minutes viewing is delayed, therefore my God Friended Me viewing, you know, I'll just not watch God Friended Me. I think you perhaps saw that that's what happened here.
These poor producers and Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, who we were with for Alcatraz in 2012 and got preempted by the Daytona 500 and had, you know, all sorts of scheduling moves. These guys have suffered so much at the hands of professional sports and race cars.
Well, looking ahead, Pete, CBS has the show scheduled for an 8:30 start time for the next 2 weeks. So that's with kind of that, you know, that built-in, let's assume, massive doubleheader action. It'll be teams people are more concerned about than whatever the teams were last night. I will note the schedule is silent after that. So I honestly don't remember from last season how far out episodes were put up there, but I feel like 206, The Fighter, has been on the schedule, at least the version I'm looking at, for a while. So, you know, I'm not even going to prognosticate what that might mean one way or the other. Just fact, the schedule I'm looking at is silent for the shows, for particular episodes airing after 206.
And it remains to be seen how many episodes are in this second season order. We still don't know. The show remains likely to be renewed at this point, so no cause for alarm, but that trend down in viewership is worrisome. And again, they need people watching. They need people watching live. They need people tweeting about this. They need people Facebooking about this on the show that's about the Facebook account. So, you know, if you are a fan of this show and you are listening, before we have to go to a Bibles for CBS type of movement like we did Rocks for Fox with Alcatraz, make sure you're putting in the fandom for this show.
This is too heartfelt a show to have people not responding to it. And certainly we had moments last season, I'd say in all four quarters that the show was on, you know, that if you separated out to five episode chunks there, where there'd be a dip down and then it would bounce back. So fingers crossed that it was just a weird hiccup in the schedule for last night.
Well, what do you say we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode? Back in New York with a new mystery, the painting with a binary code, 48 hours of decryption, and Rakesh has nothing. They need Audrey Grinnell, who, as it turns out, will be at an art gallery opening tomorrow. At Ali's Bar, the new Faithful Foursome, trademark Matt Lafferty, Miles, Rakesh, Kara, and Joy catch up, but Joy is hiding a friend suggestion?
Miles is off to talk it out, but Joy did lie to the group. He tracks her down. They're a team and friends, right? Turns out the friend suggestion is Joy's daughter. Later, Kara and Mom are hanging out, but Kara needs a place to crash. Mom would love for her to stay over. See, we're exploring mothers and daughters this week.
A faithful foursome meet at Rakesh's office. They will work together to help Lauren Brooks, who it turns out plays on the same soccer team as Kara's half-sister, Liv. They go to the soccer game, and Lauren's adoptive parents meet the group. It's a close family, though. Lately, Lauren's been moody. At Ali's Bar, Bishop Thompson wants to talk to Arthur Finer. There's a concern about how to push an important initiative through Bishop Roberts. Later, Rakesh uncovers Lauren's been trying to dig into her past. She may be looking for her birth mother.
But is the time right for Joy to reveal herself to Lauren's parents? Once alone, Kara and Miles share a moment, but won't be sharing an apartment. Back to Arthur and Bishop Thompson, there's a chief of staff job that might be perfect for Arthur. Ready to get back in the God game? Off to Lauren's parents' store. She's gluten-free. Joy's gluten-free. The DNA test is out in the open. Sounds like a perfect time for Joy to step forward. Miles suddenly points out that Joy's a lawyer who could help. Time to defer that reveal, though Joy wonders when. Perhaps Joy and Miles are on separate paths.
What triggered Joy to search after Lauren? The investigation begins to turn up the death of Joy's grandfather, Kai, her only family member. Miles leaves to see Joy, and they talk about her surfing, supporting grandfather. Meanwhile, Kara and Mom continue to build their relationship. Elsewhere, Arthur's probably not helping his relationship with Trish by slowly pitching her on his working for the church again. After all, might his new focus simply be her?
Miles and Joy have a heart-to-heart in her restaurant about Grandpa Kai. Joy can't turn her back on her daughter, though. Rakesh FaceTimes and there's been a match, a third cousin, and Lauren is headed for Chai Town. But Audrey is on her way to the show. Faced with a choice, Miles prioritizes Joy's predicament.
At the bus terminal, Joy asks for Miles' trust. She boards and sits with Lauren. Man, parents just don't understand. Joy gives Lauren her great-grandfather Kai's picture. Hey, DNA said that she was part Hawaiian. Lauren hugs and thanks her, but Joy doesn't crack and reveal her secret. Lauren's mom and dad arrive, thanking our foursome. Speaking of surfing, Kara just happens to know an instructor in Rockaway Beach. Joy lets them go. She'll be okay. But wait, isn't there an art gallery opening to get to?
Turns out they just missed Audrey. She's gone with no plans to return. But Miles is okay after what they did for Lauren and family. On his podcast, he talks about the search for answers. Lauren and Dad take surf lessons as Joy and Mom look on. The family's been brought closer, and the real mom remains mom. Meanwhile, Kara knocks on her mom's door because she's ready to come home. Arthur lowers the boom on the bishop, but he tempts him with a trial run. At Ali's Bar, Joy reveals she's going back to Chicago to win her bar hearing and get her life back as a public defender. The God account had in mind all along. Miles is grateful as they say goodbye. Obi-Wan will always be here. Rakesh asks if the account might pick someone new. Ding! Miles meets Claire Thompson.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, first one from me. Maybe not a huge theory with a capital T, but I couldn't help but chuckle. Kara and Miles wonder exactly what Rakesh does at work. This, another episode where Rakesh kind of does God account stuff and then leaves the office wherever he wants. if they're going to be slightly ridiculous on the show and then point out that they're being slightly ridiculous, I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, as surrogates for the audience, it makes quite a bit of sense. The same could be said, though. Yes, Miles is this podcaster and all, but we've seen nary a shred of income from him, and we know he's not working at Identity Seal anymore. And Kara currently is without a job either. So as much as they're going to tease him, he's the only one with an actual job.
This is true. This is definitely true. I guess continuing with Rakesh here, Rakesh just casually tracking Joy's phone, you know, no, and I know they're not going to get into the nitty gritty, but like, no, you know, hey, we're all on the same Apple ID account, or hey, we all are in the Friends app. It's just, sometimes there's hand waving when Rakesh needs to deliver magic, and it's magic through technology. Him tracking Joy's phone, kind of, sort of, just story magic.
That definitely struck out when I watched the episode. I was like, wait a minute. And there's so much going on in this episode, particularly from a dramatic standpoint, to unpack. I mean, Jessica Liu did a phenomenal job, and I know she talked quite a bit on social media about getting the script and, you know, going through the process for this big episode. But holy smokes, man, that is a really creepy detail that, I'm not quite sure about that. I wish they could have softened that a little bit.
Pete, what is on your theory radar?
Well, chronologically speaking, Matt, the first thing that hit my list was this Audrey Grinnell character, this artist of the Path painting, who we've yet to meet, feels like shades of Priya. In fact, my mind is almost kind of drawn there, like, you know, they're finally going to come across Audrey Grinnell and it's going to be like, oh, Priya, what are you doing here? And then confession, as we've already seen her do on two occasions, to sneaking around. I just wonder, and I almost want Parmen de Nagra to be Audrey Grinnell.
Well, Pete, we had, of course, in Parmen de Nagra an Alcatraz alum return. Maybe Audrey Grinnell, surprise, surprise, will be played by former Alcatraz lead Sarah Jones.
I mean, if they're going to keep it in the family, that would be one way to go, Matt. I have to throw a little bit of cold water on the kids and their Facebook accounts, Matt. While they kept it legitimate to our universe, Facebook does indeed and has for a long time mandated that a user be 13 years of age to get an account. Working with young people, I can tell you they have not been interested in Facebook in a very long time. In fact, Facebook, Matt, for you who are not on there and me, who is a 44-year-old male, is for old people.
Well, you know, Pete, sometimes if a show needs a reboot, I'm not saying this show needs a reboot, but, you know, when we enter maybe the 15th year of God Friended Me, maybe it gets rebooted as, you know, like God Snapped Me, or God TikToked Me, or something like that. I mean, can't you think the Lord doing the Lord's work via a TikTok video?
I mean, Facebook is universal in that it is the most successful social media platform of all time. We get that. The two that you just listed there, even Snapchat is on the wane amongst young people. They're all about their TikToks now. But whatever, just wanted to point it out. You know, I think we were concerned too before we had met Joy's daughter. Wait a minute, how old is she that she's got a Facebook account? Oh my God, Joy's daughter is 28 years old. But, you know, all right, a newly turned 13-year-old, she's got a Facebook. It worked within the story in that there's this genealogical sense to it. So she's trying to track down family. It worked. I just think, you know, you might have story-proofed it a little bit better.
And while we're mentioning some of the other real-world technology that made its way into this episode, I'll just point out, I thought there's a really good use of 23andMe and some of that genetic database stuff that you just see out there, particularly, I think, with the unintended consequences of you know, I'm not saying 23andMe is good or bad, just you hear some of these unintended consequence stories, whether it's good things like, hey, somebody entered the database and that, you know, that now allowed Minnesota State Police to, you know, close a cold case or that sort of thing.
Or how about the bad of they have your information now and it's theirs?
I think that's a fair point, too. Certainly in this episode, she had the access to it and we had the small unintended consequence, although I'm not trying to take away the parental terror of it, but the small unintended consequence of, okay, I'm getting a Greyhound and going to Chicago.
Yeah. And then when you consider Kara in this episode, you know, her storyline in terms of going back to live with her mother, the commitment issues continue to be a long-term arc for her this season, with Miles in Paris in the previous episode not ready to say that she loves him, and now back in New York City, not ready to move in, and then looking for a place, not ready to move in with mom, you know, continues to be something that her character is struggling with.
Yeah, and it's almost a poignantly old-fashioned relationship that Miles and Kara have, though in the recaps there occasionally are, you know, kind of little winks to, you know, they catch up, wink, wink. I mean, one does get the sense that this is a rather, you know, a rather chaste relationship. One doesn't sense that there's a lot of, you know, overnight sleepovers, et cetera, things of that sort. And, you know, that works for them. I'm not here to say their relationship is the right way or, you know, it's unrealistic because nowadays people just party and, you know, go home together. It's something that you tend not to see even on relatively chaste network TV. And I think that that sweetness helps sell the relationship week after week.
Kara's mom, too, just seems like the nicest lady. We've never seen the things that, you know, Kara had issues with her over, you know, disappearing from her life, everything like that. And obviously she got it together. And there would seem to be more building out of her character this year. They've just cast Kara's stepfather, who's going to appear in an episode. I think they were like 9, 10, 11, around that range. So that's coming. So it, again, will continue to be a storyline. Whether or not he'll be a friend suggestion, oh, that'll be kind of weird. You know, you're living in the house now and you get a friend suggestion from the guy you're living in the house with, remains to be seen.
Well, I mean, it doesn't get much weirder than, hey, the girl you chose to give up for adoption, now you need to help her. So that's the magic. I'll use the word less pejoratively now. That's the magic of the concept of the show, that if you do want to have that sort of deep dive into stepdad from with, you know, with which you have boundaries, well, it just takes a friend suggestion. You can dive on into whatever ails him.
Really little use of Joe Morton in this episode and his character. However, we continue to move him along as well, with Bishop Thompson getting Arthur potentially in trouble with Trish. You know, we're in episode 4. We had been told 6 weeks at the beginning of the season they were going to get married. Obviously, the episodes don't occur in real time. It could be, you know, 4 days for all we've been told at this point, probably longer. But seems like they're setting up a very clear obstacle before the wedding happens.
Yeah, I think there may have been passing in one of the Ally's bar scenes to Joy has been around for a month or for 4 weeks or something like that. So I think we continue to head toward a wedding question mark. Let's hope the wedding doesn't get called off, Pete. But somewhere in that episode 2067, maybe 208 range. But, you know, I mean, the show doing what a show must do in terms of creating some conflict in order to give these characters something to do other than live boring, perfect lives.
Again, such huge props to Jessica Liu with her performance, being able to play the mother, keeping quiet, not wanting to ruin the world that her daughter, who's been adopted into this other family, has formed, and to unduly influence her. I guess the question is this: will Joy have her day to be able to tell Lauren? And a secondary question, Matt, that I think we've really got to consider given what takes place in this episode. How will revealing that she is actually Lauren's mother not feel like some kind of betrayal that she didn't say something earlier?
Pete, these are rich story questions that you're asking. And I think, do I buy the notion that, oh, Joy is gone and she'll never return? Not for one minute. I think that, you know, we do have this outstanding issue of Joy's daughter is there in New York. She's running the same circles as, you know, people related to Kara, i.e. Kara's stepsister. It's all potential for later on. And I think that there was a heartfeltness to this episode that I think other episodes certainly have. But I think I just really kind of fundamentally bought the quandary that Joy was in. And I think that the way Jessica Liu portrayed it, it just felt so real, so honest. And, you know, we mentioned sometimes, oh, oftentimes in Godfriend and Me, it's like, there's not really problems. It's just people that have different perspectives. This was a different perspective. What do you tell this girl? What does she want at age 13? What is the best thing for her? These are questions that were, you know, that were timely within the episode. And it really is a case of you're not quite sure what the right answer is. And I don't know that we've satisfactorily answered that. So I'm happy to circle back to it when the time comes. Pete, what other theories do you have?
So she's going to Chicago. She's going to have this bar hearing. Was told to us for the first time she was a public defender last night. So I think, you know, her return to the show opens up an interesting avenue there. Does this take on more of a procedural from a law standpoint of, you know, friend suggestions who are in legal trouble? Now they've got a specialist on the team. My question is, though, Matt, is this a Jaya trip?
Well, by which you mean kind of steps out of the story until it's time to come back to New York?
Yeah, I mean, we have not seen Jaya other than a FaceTime for quite some time. They didn't even name her character when she came up last week. Jessica Liu has listed on her Twitter that, you know, she's Joy on Godfriend and Me, believed to be a regular, listed on IMDb as being in a number of episodes that have yet not aired. But you just have to wonder what the juggling act looks like on the call sheet.
I think that regardless of, you know, whether she's a full-time cast member or recurring or whatever it might be, I think that you could reasonably have her gone for the next episode. If then you want to say, surprise, surprise, now she's back, or surprise, surprise, road trip to Chicago. I don't even know that you need to actually go film in Chicago. You know, get some exteriors, cut to close up, have guy in the background in a, you know, in a Cubs jersey or whatever.
With some awful pizza.
Yeah, a guy in a Cubs shirt selling deep dish pizza, talking about the wind coming off the lake, wait until it snows. I guess that was more New England, but you gather what I'm saying. You can bring Chicago to the show without bringing the show to Chicago. I think that that's probably more likely than, oh, we've said goodbye to Joy for forever.
I think she may be absent an episode or two, but we will get our Joy back. And been a great addition to the show this season, and Jessica Liu. Last one from me, Matt. You know, I'm a Star Wars guy. Matt's a Star Wars guy, but not as big a Star Wars guy as me. Okay. So the nomenclature last night, you know, Obi-Wan here, Miles, and Luke Skywalker being Joy. But really, we had the Star Wars metaphor in the first season. Miles said that with his father, they had the whole Luke Vader dynamic going on. So if we were going to continue this, if Miles is now the mentor, he remains Luke Skywalker. That really makes Joy Rey.
Well, not a bad template to work upon. I guess time will tell how many more Star Wars references can they work towards this season. Will you pick a number, Pete?
Not enough to make me happy.
Well, Pete, I know number one in our hearts are the people who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek, making sure, particularly this busy time of year, that all our storage and bandwidth costs get help spread to the team there, and we certainly appreciate that support that's keeping us sustainable and ongoing.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, all sorts of levels to contribute at, but all it takes is a dollar to get you in the door. That means a quarter a week for that $1 a month. More than worth it for these free things we bring you. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, couple of tweets here. First one from James, that's at Big Killen, who says of this episode, it was another great one. This cast is on fire. And of course, Pete, it would not be the same if we did not hear from Peter, that's at Tweet Scala, who says it was worth the 19-minute delay. That's right, Pete. He was watching in the greater New York City area, delayed by the foosball. Peter continues to say fantastic and emotional.
I would agree with both of them. I just think, again, the disservice that's done to an audience through these delays, particularly with a returning show here. You got to do right by them, and hopefully they would figure out a little bit of a better situation that I could be watching it in my house, not far away from yours, an entire different city away. In a different manner, just doesn't line up.
Well, Pete, can't wait to keep the God Friended Me discussion going on all season long. How can people be in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PIETERJKETELAR, KETELAAR, 10,727 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, there's more.
Facebook.com, all one word with the PH, like it today.
Well, Pete, for those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, definitely things ramping up. Got your God Friend and Me right now. Got Watchmen coming out on Wednesday. That, of course, Pete, Watchmen airing on HBO on Sundays. We're giving it a little time to marinate before we podcast it. Plus, got to get our GFMs here. We're podcasting it on the Wednesdays, and certainly plenty to keep us busy before November gets even crazier. But let's focus on this, Pete. Let's focus on it, how it's time for me to say adios to all the listeners and give you the final word.
God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers.